Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Excuse me for a second, I just my skull got a little spitty, but that ain't nothing new. Would you like to hear information you never requested and you will wish you never heard? Well, I'd like to share that with you. Jimmy?
Yes.
How many pages do you typically bring into the pulpit when you preach?
Zero.
What?
I preach from an iPad.
Fine.
I'm one of those guys.
Fine. Aren't you cool? All right. Mine is give or take. It's not a manuscript. It's an outline, about 18 to 20 pages, because I have to have 16 points because I can't see it otherwise. And the first thing I do when I'm before getting into the pulpit is to make sure got to have the pages numbered on the bottom right. Got to do that because if something drops, Daddy-O, you are in big trouble. I was kung fu this summer when we did a service outside. The wind blew, and I just had everything on a music stand. And one of the pages went flying, and I was like, pew, grabbed it out of the air. like my life depended on it, because at the moment it did.
And that's why I preach from an iPad.
All righty. Well, aren't we superior in every way? So then I laid out in the pulpit. I've got, typically I'll do like one page and then next to the other and then slide them over. Okay, finish, fold everything up. Next day, go to review the sermon and look through it again. And this is what happens when I'm turning the pages.
You spit all over them.
Pretty much. You're welcome. Hey, how's about sending stuff? Nobody's right now. Everybody's going, what I'm trying to do is I'm doing you a solid. Because if you ever visit Alpharetta Bible Church, you will know not to sit in the front row. So you're welcome. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
It's like going to SeaWorld in the splash zone.
Like when the whale hits the... Yeah, that's actually pretty vivid. That's pretty close, right? That's a good illustration. You can also text 877-282. Look, I get a... What am I supposed to do? It's a glandular thing or something. Jimmy, there are times, and I'm afraid I gave this to one of my children. I'll go, like if I'm hungry and I go to put something in my mouth, I will literally drool on my front. So what I'm doing is practicing for when I'm in a nursing home. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous, a text. Todd, why do you say that God wants tear-filled converts instead of fear-filled converts?
He kind of wants both, but predominantly, I believe he wants tear-filled converts. Romans 2, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. In other words, we should be in total dread. God is a consuming fire. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But when we understand that God has been so kind to send his son to atone for our sins, to stave off his wrath, it should be that kindness that leads me to repentance, a desire to want to be with the one who has been so kind to me, who is contrite over sins. How could I have lived this way for so long against the one who did so much for me? And furthermore, I think it is so clear, and it's not just the New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament. What does God want? Does he just want fearful cower. I'm stuck. No, he doesn't want that. He wants our hearts. He wants willing, cheerful obedience. He wants us to love him. He wants our motivation to be, I want to serve the one who has died for me. He wants our hearts. So while it is right to say, yeah, fear is definitely a component of conversion, I do not reject that. But I think if you could say the more important motivation, I think I'll stick with that for the moment, is that we want him. We love him. We desire him. We our hearts have been so affected by him that we want to give it all. And so that's why I say, let me put it this way. It's always a little dangerous to use a phrase like this, but it would be God's preference that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. In fact, I would say it almost has to be in there at some degree. Everybody's balance is going to be different. So you're not going to make a law where there is no law. Some people are going to be more about fear and with some kindness and then vice versa. So you don't want to get out some chemistry set to measure which emotion you're having predominantly. That's that you don't want to get that kooky. But I think that it should be both of those things, but mostly it should be tears. 877-282-233. Now, if I could interrupt myself for a moment. If you're one of those individuals who never had that sort of conversion experience, don't panic automatically. There are, I think, a lot of people, especially those who grew up in the church, that they've known about Jesus all along. They've been in church. They know the verses, etc. And it maybe wasn't that dramatic. So don't, it's like, okay, I didn't have one of those moments and I can't cite the time when I shed salty tears. Don't panic, but I would ask you, how's your heart today? Is your heart changed today? Are your affections different today? Is your obedience better than it was before you got saved? And rather than having to pinpoint a particular experience, now some of us can do that. Jimmy, are you one who can do that? Where you can say, this was the date, this was the moment.
That I got saved? Yeah. Yeah.
That's, yeah. When you August. Get, what do you think we're talking about in here?
August 27th.
Oh, wow.
2013. I was sitting at a lunch table at Applebee's.
Wait a second. 2013?
Yep.
Wait, what?
What?
Hold on.
Yeah, it's been 12, 13 years.
No.
Yep.
No, it's been longer than that.
No, it has not.
Is that right?
It is absolutely right.
Now, were you a false convert?
Nope.
You just weren't. You weren't a believer at all.
You're right. I wasn't, but I thought I was.
So you're a false convert.
Well, I didn't go to church. I didn't attend. You know, I just grew up in the Bible Belt, and I thought because of that, I was saved.
You would call yourself a Christian,
right?
Yeah, that's pretty common. Okay, so You do remember.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us can. Others don't have to. The more important question is, am I now? Not when was I, but am I now? And you rest in that. 877-282-2337. And by the way, do you say you were in Applebee's?
Applebee's.
So when God saved you, did he give you better taste buds?
No.
Oh, just curious.
I didn't pick the place.
Well, I know, but you went.
I did go.
877-282. It could have been Chili's, so... Could have been. 877-282-2337.
All right, from Anonymous, Todd, could you share your reasoning for why you don't use illustrations in your preaching? And specifically personal illustrations.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to try to use more illustrations. Okay, first of all, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to have to Google for them. I don't like that. I feel like that's just like I'm lifting... There's websites galore, sermon illustrations. You can pay for the service. Some of them are free. I don't want to do that. It's not plagiarism, but there's something that's a cousin that feels kind of like that. And it's like, nah, I don't want to share that. So I'm not great at the illustrations. I mean, sometimes they happen, but I'm just not good at it. There you go. How's that? I'm not good at it. And usually the ones that I come up with, it's like, wow, Friel, that was a lot of work. And the, as far as it being like a personal illustration, okay, for instance, last week here, was it this week? Last week, I mentioned that we had an HOA meeting in our subdivision and everybody got along. That's what I think spurred this question. Everybody got along. On the way home, somebody said, isn't it nice? Wow, it goes so well when, you know, we have unity. And I went, ding, 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 ding. It is nice when we have unity. And I thought, well, that would preach right there. But I wouldn't, I don't want a sermon to have anything to do with me. I as pastor, if you do, you do you. But I just, I mean, it's like, it would be a conscience issue for me. I'm trying to recall. Okay. I remember within the last several, within 6 weeks, I said something that I thought came dangerously close. I said, I want to share something with you, but I'm wrestling if I should share this with you because it's so awful from the pulpit. So, and I was talking about me, but I wanted to let everybody know. It's like, I'm aware this is going to be really like, and I'm like, if I made a mistake in this, I'm sorry for that. That was even that for me was like too many first person personal pronouns. A sermon should be 100% about Jesus. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription. No hidden fees. Just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting. Just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies.
Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of unity, Jimmy and I actually have some. This is Wretched Radio. You can't talk about yourself either in the sermon.
Nah, well, you know, not on Sunday morning. No, I try not to do that. I'm not saying
elsewhere,
that I never. Yeah.
But Sunday.
Right.
Now, would you say somebody's sinning if they do?
Nope.
Okay, so we can all talk about Jimmy on Sunday morning.
That's absolutely right.
Did I put
right.
that together right?
I would prefer that.
Okay, so you wouldn't make it a law. It's just a... Now, if you did talk about yourself, would you be sinning against your conscience? Is it that strong?
I think so, yes.
I do too.
Yeah.
Me too. Now, I would not impose that on anybody. I think it would be one of those Romans 14 issues. Okay, here's another one. This is getting into the pulpit. I know it's really, really common. And okay, this one is different for me, Jimmy. At Alpharetta Bible Church, it's funny, we had, okay, here's our rule. The rule is when I take the pulpit, it's not like, let's give it up for the meal. Hey, you know what? Hot outside, right? Aren't you glad for air conditioning? And I know you're all eager to get to the Bulldog game today. We don't do any of that because that's not a part of the worship service. And I think personally, it kind of pulls you out of what we are there to do. And that is to focus on our amazing Savior. And so I believe that that's a distraction. So I don't. Now, John Kratz comes to preach at Alpharetta Bible Church. And I said, John, just want to let you know, it's our custom here. This isn't a judgment on anybody else's church. It's a custom here that you just start the sermon. No. He goes, oh, you know, John, he's such a nice guy. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, I kind of like to, you know, do that, to, you know, be personable. But if that's the way you do it, then that's the way I'll do it, right? So John comes walking up to the pulpit and he stands there and he looks out. And he started his sermon. he did it because I asked that of him. You could tell it was like tough. Now, if I went to John's church and they act, and let's just say that John, I don't know what they do there, but let's just say that John or any other pastor said to me, hey, we always like to, you know, we want to kind of get to know you. So if you'd introduce yourself and step, fine. You know why? Because it's merely a custom at Alpharetta Bible Church. And I wouldn't be sinning against my conscience to do it because we think that's a good way to do it, but it's certainly not mandated in Scripture. You look like you want to bust.
Well,
at the
I was
seams.
Just going to say, yeah.
You're no longer busting at the seams, Jimmy.
No, I'm not.
You are just, you are the incredible shrinking man.
I hope it continues.
You got 20 to go.
20 to go.
All righty.
No, I was just going to say that it bothers me too. I cannot do that. Like this Presbyterian camp that I went to a couple of weeks ago, the first sermon that they invited, you know, the first time I preached, the pastor gets up there, he introduces me and brings me up and he says, you know, talk about yourself or whatever. And I said, man, I just looked out and I said, I'm going to be with you guys all weekend. If there's anything about me you want to know, ask
there's
me.
Plenty of time
I'm transparent,
for that.
But I cannot do that here.
Oh, you couldn't do that.
I cannot. It's just, it bothers me. I cannot.
Okay, do you think there's a difference though? Sunday morning service and this was like a camp?
Yeah, so there is a difference there. It's still just a...
Do you call it a sermon or do you call it a speech?
I probably called it a sermon just because that's what I'm used to calling it.
Yeah. So let's just say you were invited to a conference. And it was, you know, get up and, you know, feel free to share about just tell us about the ministry. You wouldn't do it.
It would be hard. I would respect probably what they asked of me at that time.
Pharisee.
Yeah. But
sorry.
It would just be so hard of it bothers
it's a
me.
Thing.
It bothers me.
Hey, if it does, then it does.
Yeah.
But that one for me, it's just for me, it's a custom issue as opposed to a conscience issue. And it's just for me, it's too far away from being anything explicit. 877-282-2337. I wish we had filmed, maybe we did film John's face. I'm telling you, it was just... And then he just crushed the sermon. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, should Christians give bad business reviews? For instance, if a business has genuinely wronged someone, is it okay to leave a one-star rating?
I don't know why not.
Yeah.
But it depends on your heart. If you're doing it to be vindictive, I don't think you should. I don't know that it would be a sin, but if it's a heart issue, if it's like, hey, you know what? We had an experience that we don't want others to have, then I think, okay, your motivation is correct. You can do that. But I would perhaps suggest we should be a little bit more judicious in our critiques. So for instance, is it a one-off? Is that consistently bad service? Did they take care of the problem? Is it possible that the person waiting on you maybe had something going on in their life at the moment that kept them from being attentive to you? So I think we can. I don't think it's a sin. I would just watch motive and try to be as super fair as possible. Is it right after one experience to kind of blast an establishment? Your call, but I will say this. There seems to me to be something different, however, in putting up stars for a restaurant or a department store than for the church. These church rating websites, it's like, oh, no. This is a different thing. And the reason that I think that I feel so much more protective about it is because somebody can have a bad experience. It can just happen. I mean, I don't anticipate it would happen often, but I remember once somebody came to Alpharetta Bible Church and they said that their experience, they didn't talk to as many people as they wanted to. Okay. You know what? I don't like that because it wasn't a blessing to them. And furthermore, oh man, if we're anything at ABC, we are a chatty bunch. And everybody sticks around for an hour and we do blah, 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 blah. So somebody somehow kind of fell a little bit through it. It's not like nobody talked to them. I've been to one of those churches before. Nobody said anything. Okay, even that, I don't think we should go online and trash talk the bride of Christ. I just don't think that that's appropriate. If you have a concern, we should be much more Matthew 18. Don't publicly post it. Go directly to the pastor and share with him, hey, I was there and I had a bad experience. I wanted to tell you about it just so that you could know. Perhaps there's an explanation, but I just want the church to be blessed. Have a good day. 877-282-2337.
Todd, this is from Joe. Todd, are women being deacons biblical? I know it's mentioned in the Bible about deaconesses, but I was wondering what that meant.
Yeah, well, you've got to be careful in the context regarding Phoebe, for instance. Let's just change the word deacon to servant. Okay, that's somebody who serves. It's a term for waiting on tables, actually. So there's an office of deacon, and then there's deaconing. There's an office of servant, and then there's being a servant in the church. There's an official office where you help, but everybody in the church should be helping. So I think when it comes to that descriptor for Phoebe, it was simply describing her as somebody who's a servant in the church. We need servants in the church. I just think that I can't find a clear distinction in, right? It's 1 Timothy 2 and 3, especially 3. I just can't see that the deacon's wife is deaconess, that it's a female deacon. I just can't make that leap. Now, there are some guys that do, and they're perfectly sound Orthodox pastors, and they would say we can have female deaconesses here as an office. I personally don't. I don't think somebody is a heretic who does. But I think in explanation of those other times when women are called deaconesses, it's because they were simply servants. You would have to build your case, I think, from 1 Timothy 3 to show that Paul was actually describing the qualifications of a female deacon as opposed to the deacon's wife. The word is gene, women, wife? Which is it? As I follow the flow starting in 1 Timothy 2, I just don't see it being a new category. It's elder's wife, it's not a female pastor, and it's a deacon's wife, not a female deacon. Jimmy, which team are you on here?
Yeah, I would lean myself towards probably not.
That's it. That's all you got for me.
That's all I got. I just don't see any... Yeah, probably.
And
not.
I think we have to be careful because obviously we live in different generations and eras, but you also see, for the most part, 2,000 years of church history that would say that the office of deacon was reserved for men. That isn't infallible. That would be the Roman Catholic Church that teaches that. But we can take a look at church tradition and glean some things. So an awful lot of people would have had to have been wrong for an awful lot of time for suddenly there to be room for, if you will, a new category of deacon. Now you want to send stuff to us, don't you? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.